First John chapter 3. Going to look at members in particular. First John chapter 3. Just thinking about how, you know, what a blessing it is to be a part of something. Many times, you know, people want to be involved or belong to something, you know, various clubs, societies, you know, the club of left-handed knitters, you know, I don't know, whatever, you know, teams and sports and legions and not biblical legions, but, you know, legions like that. You know, and those are all wonderful. They're all great. But, you know, it's really wonderful to know what we as believers belong to. And 1 John chapter 3 gives you a really, you know, wonderful insight. Chapter verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." You know, to be a son or a daughter of God, wow, what a privilege. You know, it's just maybe a marginally better than being the head of the Lions Club. That's a figure of speech. You know, to be called a son of, therefore the world knoweth us not. The world doesn't understand that. We are not of the world. This world is not our home. Those are all truths. The world doesn't know us because it knew him not. It didn't know Jesus Christ. So even he told, remember he told, said in the word that, you know, if they're going to hate me, they're going to hate you. The world doesn't love the sons of God. This, because the God of the world is the God of the world, the adversary. That's why we're not loved by the world. But to be taken out of the world as sons of God, what a privilege to belong to God's family. Beloved, now, verse 2, are we the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow, what an incredible privilege to be sons of God, and to someday to understand how we're understood and to be like unto Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus Christ isn't just a man anymore. In case you thought he was. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll look at that sometime in fellowship. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 10. So, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers or brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And what a blessed family. The Lord is not ashamed. He's not ashamed of you or me. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. Wow. That he would call us brothers. He's not ashamed of that. There's no reason for you or I to be ever ashamed of anything. Jesus Christ isn't ashamed. Call us brother. What a wonderful family. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, you and I do belong to something. We belong to the family of God. And, you know, what I love about the family of God, I worked in a lot of companies over the years and been a part of various things, you know, and work and all that. There are various structures, you know, and invariably when you go to a new job, the first thing they flash up on a PowerPoint is the company org chart, the structures, you know, why what goes up and all these things. You know, I always found them very, very riveting. You know, that's the way they do it. They have these structures and org charts and all that. What I love about the family of God, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. This is the flattest organization on the face of the earth. There is only one named position in our family. That is head in the body of Christ. He's head. Jesus Christ is head. Everybody else, you get this, you know, the org chart would be funny. One head, and then this flat org chart with a millions of people all pointing to the Lord. That's, you know, my sick business way that I look at it. You know, very simple. Jesus Christ is head. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. So I don't have to look at you and say, "You, gee, I sure wish, you know, I had the same position as Advij has. You know, I really want that one." You know, or you, you know, or she looks at Grace, or, you know, Grace looks at Nathan, and I wish that I had that. There's no room for that. Jesus Christ is head, and everybody else, we're members of the body of Christ. Verse 16, from whom, Jesus, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. I love this verse. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, one head, and then all of us are part of the body, and where we, you know, where everybody has something to do in that family. You know, everybody has a measurable impact on that body, the body of Christ, the family of God, the new man. There's a lot of words for this organization. But everybody has a measurable thing to do as a part of this family. And, you know, here it says that when that happens, each person, each member does what they're to do, then the body just builds, the family just builds and builds and builds in love. And that's what a great image that God gave us to understand this. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we'll go there and read a little more about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse 12 of 12. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Mm. Christ is also part of the body, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's the head. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The new birth, the new, you know, the Spirit you receive, the new birth, that makes you a part of the one body. In fact, one place in Corinthians it says the Lord is that Spirit. That's how we're part of that one body, with Jesus Christ as the head, and each one of us members. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if I was to say, I'm not doing what Gladys does. I couldn't possibly be part of this body. That doesn't make any sense. And she said, well, I'm not doing what Daisy does. And here God says, wait a minute. You know, you're a member of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is head. And I keep saying it. One name position, Christ the head. Everybody else, members of that one body. And no one does the same thing as what anybody else does. You know, by revelation, Paul here uses foot and ear and all this. You know, really, there are only two ears in the body. So this is not a literal comparison here. He's just saying there are members. Eventually, if the nose is taken, then nobody else can be that part, right? Eventually, you run out of parts. But that's not the point that God is making. The point is that everybody is a member of the body, and no one is the same as anybody else. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? So not everybody does the same thing. If everybody did the same thing, you'd be missing some functions. If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased each one of us. No, wait a minute. As it has pleased him. I have no choice. You have no say in the matter, thankfully. It is God who has placed the members. And who has the responsibility in this administration to take care of that body? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that's the responsibility God gave him. He said, this is your thing. This is your gig. This is your job to take care of the body of Christ. But your body, you take care of it. That's his responsibility. And you're a member of that body. I'm a member. We're members. I'm not where I am. You're not where you are because you wanted to be there, short of making Jesus your Lord and becoming part of the body. But God places the members as it pleases him. And if the whole were one member, where would the body? But now are they many members? You know, God makes this truth maybe more than once in the section. It's interesting how many times the same truth is repeated to help us to get, okay, I get it. But now are they many members, yet but one body. This is an interesting verse. And the eye cannot say, now we said, I don't do what you do, you don't do what I do, we don't do what, and now there's no, and here, now God takes it to a different level. He says, now the eye cannot say unto the head, I have no need of thee. I can't say, Gladys, you know what? I can do without you. Patrick, I don't need you. Patrick, well, bro, I don't need you either. You know? Then we get into a big fight. You know, biblically speaking, we cannot say that. You might have it in your head, well, there's this member of the body of Christ that I don't, you know, he's kind of out there. And what does the word say? It says you can't say that about any member in the body of Christ. You cannot say that. You cannot say that so-and-so and so-and-so church and doing this and doing that who has made Jesus as Lord, I don't have any of that person. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. And here's the next part. I love this part. I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head. Who's the head?
Jesus Christ.
To the feet, I have no need of you. Like, it's hard to understand. Like, you know, sometimes you get a bit overwhelmed by the truth that I can see the other one where I can say, you know, I don't have, you know, I can, a person can say, I have no need of another person. You know, you can get to carnal thinking and screw your mind up that way. That can happen. But that Jesus Christ would never say that he has no need of you. I might think he has no need of me some days, or I'm not going to be very useful to the Lord today, but yet the Word of God says the head would never say that to a member in the body of Christ, that I have no need of thee. Interesting. Isn't that a blessing to think about? I mean, I really go, wow, that he would say that? That's what it says, right? Nay, much more of those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no separation, no division, no breach in the body, but that the members, and here's the reason, that the members should have the same care one for another. That was the purpose of doing all of this. Right? If you think you cannot contribute, you know, you are thinking contrary to what the Word of God says. If you think you're not worth anything, you're contrary to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says the exact opposite. It says that you will never be told that you're not needed in the body of Christ. And you will never not have the opportunity to do the measurable part that you do for the body of Christ, where God has put you according to the where he wanted you. You never can say, that's what the word says, right? You know what it says? It's pretty simple, right? And one thing we learned about when Paul did come to Corinth, he taught them pretty simply. You know, like this whole idea of an ear, an eye, and you know, oh, okay, if the whole thing was an ear, and where were the hearing? Oh yeah, that makes sense. That'd be stupid, big ear. You know, that's when he gave them the milk. He taught them by the milk, but he taught them the same truths, but used milk-level truths. Whereas when you go to Ephesians, man, we just read it. It kind of just, the faithful, he kind of, it really opens up. Same truths, but taught a little bit in depth, differently. So this is supposed to be milk teaching, but giving you the same result of understanding how the body works. All right. And whether, verse 26, one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's just no room for envy or jealousy or anything in the body of Christ. You know, you hear something about a believer that something blessed, you know, so-and-so got a great job or did this or got healed of this. Don't you just get so blessed? That's the way it's supposed to be. Yet, you know, in Corinth at the time, that wasn't the way it was it? Some of these apostles were thinking, well, I'm the apostle, I'm this, and they were doing all this stuff. Yet here God says, no, all the members care one for another. They rejoice when somebody rejoices. When someone has a problem, like we just talked about praying for Peter this Friday, you know, we're there. We want to pray and have the care for him that he needs. And now, verse 27, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. In other words, a particular member or a member in part, one of the members. Again, did he mention that before? How many times? You know, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He had his son die for each one of us. And Corinthians says more than once that you are bought with the price. You're bought with a price. Therefore, you are not your own anymore. You belong to him. You're bought with a price. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul writing a little bit about what he went through. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more and labors more abundant. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, the city, wilderness, sea, false brethren, all the perils that came to him. And Paul was second in command by the flesh, right? He was second under the head, right? And then we're all below Paul, right? No, oh, wait a minute. That's not what 1 Corinthians says. No. Member of the body of Christ. That's, you know, called to be an apostle, yes, but organization, Christ, Paul. Christ, us. That's it. Although there are some in this world who think otherwise. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hunger and thirst and fastings often and cold and nakedness. You know, and you read that list and I get tired just reading it. And when you read what he went through and you say, wow, it wasn't, you know, Paul could just have said, okay, you know what? I've done my part. Okay, I went through the beatings. I went through the whippings. I've done this part. I've pretty much, okay, that's it. I've done my part. That's it. That's good. You know, chalk it up to having done my measurable part. But that's not what he says. Read the rest. Verse 28. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak? You'd think that just the beatings and the whippings and the drownings and all these attempts of stonings would have been enough to make him weak. And yet he still says by revelation here, when somebody else hurts, I hurt. That's what he says. And yet you would think that, you know, and yet he says, who was offended and I burn not. If somebody in the body of Christ was offended, Paul got annoyed about it. That's the one body. And yet you think he would have had enough just by what he suffered. No. No. It does say somewhere about Paul being an example to believers, right? You know, it'd be good to read about his example. Who was offended and I burn not. That was Paul. That was his heart of what the body of Christ meant to him. You know, look at Romans chapter 12. He didn't think about himself. Romans chapter 12. The context here, as we know, is renewing the mind and presenting ourselves a living sacrifice, not a dead one. The living sacrifice. We'll start in verse 4. You guys, that's the context. In verse 4, it says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. The word office, literally it means function. We don't all have the same function in the body of Christ. And that lines up exactly with what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where God says, you know, the eye can't save this guy. This is the back forth. Everybody has things in Ephesians 4, which says everyone has a something measurable contribution to the body of Christ. Now, I will say to you that we do have that, but it doesn't mean that we're going to do it. Does it? Is it automatic? That for which I've been placed in the body of Christ, that I will actually do what I'm supposed to do? Is that automatic? No, it's not. The impact of what we do in the body of Christ is up to us. When God called Paul by way of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul could have said, no, thank you. Right? I'm not going down that road, because Paul, the Lord did show him what things he was going to suffer for his name. Is that what it says? That day when he first appeared to him, he says, I've called you, and he put all the records together. He told him what he's going to do, teach the Gentiles in darkness, light, and all. And then he also shows them what things he must suffer for my namesake. And then we just read about what he suffered. So the Lord told him what he was going to suffer, and Paul still said, okay. Right. He said, yes, sir. And, you know, so to actually do what we've been called to do is up to each individual. It's not up to anybody else. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, so we being many are one... Well, that sounds just like Corinthians. Maybe the same author behind all this. Are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. See that intricate joining and how we impact one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth them, teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Wow, what a great section. You know, at some point, you know, we've been called to a wonderful family. You just read those records, and that, you know, he would call us sons and daughters, and that there's never a time Jesus would ever say to us that I don't need you. That you know, they're going to come back for us. We have a treasure in heaven that's undefiled, fadeth not away. We're, you know, all the blessings, he's going to show the grace, his grace to us for eternity. All those things that tell us, at some point, all those truths have to get to a believer to go from being in receive mode to be in minister mode, to give mode. You know, our walk with the Lord can't be just a walk of, okay, here are my needs today, and here are my needs tomorrow, and here are my needs next day. You get to a point where didn't Jesus Christ even said he didn't come to get ministered on? What did he came to? He came to minister and give his life a ransom for many. He came to give. He came to give. You know, Paul, again, what a great example. What did Paul do? He get, you know, at the end of his life, he's like, okay, I fought a good fight. It wasn't just a matter of, here are my needs today, and I know God will take care of me, and, you know, we go into receive mode. Here, you know, what God has placed us to do in the body of Christ will only get done if we do that which he's placed us to do. And here, it's interesting here, God says, whatever it is. Remember that parable in the gospel? You know, he gave one guy 10 talents, and one guy 5 talents, one guy 1 talent. Did he ever say, well, you had a lot more talents, therefore, you know, I love you more, and you have great... No, he just said, whatever, according to each man's several ability. You know what it said? Everybody, it doesn't matter what it is that we've been called to do. It doesn't matter. And that's a great blessing, because I'd hate to think that, you know, each one of us would have to do the same things Paul did, you know, or that Peter did, or that so-and-so did, or anybody else did. Remember, he says that. We don't look at that. I don't say, you know, I don't do what you do, so therefore I'm not the body, or I don't say I don't have need of you, don't say I don't have need of you, and all these things. But it does say that whatever it is that God has worked in us to do, we do that. And here God says, do it with cheerfulness, you know, with simplicity, with diligence, and all the other wonderful words used there. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, wrote that by the grace that God had bestowed upon him through Jesus Christ, that he was able to labor more abundantly than all of them. Is that what it says? You know, because he said by the grace of God he was what he was, and because of that, he could work, labor more abundantly than all of them. and he did work. In Acts chapter 20, I'm going to read you this record. There's a couple more verses left. Acts 20, verse 31. Therefore watch, and this is Paul when he met with the elders on his way back to Jerusalem. Where did he call him down to? Miletus, I think it was. He didn't go up to Ephesus, he called him down. Verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Okay. Again, kind of along the lines of just the kind of life Paul lived. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Again, he told them, it's the word that will get you through this. You know, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yet you yourselves also know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. You know, and you've read 1 Corinthians 9, other places in the Bible where it talks about he had every right to be taken care of by the believers. Yet here he tells them again, here, look, I taught you every day, night and day, with tears, you know. He was there. He was getting involved. And he goes, even during that time, he didn't have a regular job. He didn't count on them. He had his own work to do. He worked his own hands, ministered unto his necessities. He never wanted the gospel to be limited by any way. He didn't want anything to cause the gospel not to be heard. And that's what he did. Why? Verse 35, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's why he did it. It is still more blessed to give than to receive. You know, every believer at some point, you know, those of us who have been around for a while, for many years, that truth has really got to hit our head. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Romans chapter 12 talked about, look, whatever it is that God has worked in your life and placed you in the body of Christ, that you start doing with diligence, with cheerfulness. You know, and looking at Paul as a great example, labored more abundantly than they all. You know, Jesus Christ, when he was here, he said that there was a lot of work to do, but the laborers were few. I would say it's still true today. Mm. There aren't a lot of laborers. There aren't a lot of believers who think this way. You know, I know that. God meets all of our needs, and we have needs, and those things come up. But you know, that's the starting point of being a believer. And when we know God's word, and we have been entrusted with so much, and here, so many of us here have been taught so much of God's word. We carry so much of the truths of the mystery. We've been taught them our whole life. You know, and God's heart is that all men be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. How much do I think about that every day? What is God's heart? Roger, what are you thinking about today? Are you lining up your heart with what God's heart is? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Or am I more concerned about, well, I have this need, and God, how about this need, and that need? Is that my life, or is it a life of understanding that I've been put in the body of Christ, and now it's up to me to walk according to how God has called me in Christ Jesus? And the same for all of us. We'll close in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Again, we could read this whole section. It's a great section. Colossians 3:23. We'll read the last part here. Again, when God deals in the first part of the chapter about all the various relationships that exist within the body of Christ and how we're to live in those relationships heartily. And then verse 23 concludes, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Mm-hmm. Anything you're called to do in the body of Christ, you do heartily as unto the head. Whereas, you know, in a business organization, I might have a first level manager and second level manager and third level manager and all that stuff. And so each guy tries to please his guy along the chain so they can move higher up in the chain and all that. Well, it's pretty simple in the body of Christ. God says, whatever you do, whatever I've placed you to do, you know, do it cheerfully with diligence and do it heartily as unto your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, what a great and simple way to live our lives. And what a great way to recognize, well, you know, whatever we do, and I guarantee, you know, I guarantee, I can't really guarantee, but I would say to you, and I think you'll agree with me, that there's a very good chance that you will not get rewarded in this life for most of the things you do for God. There's a very good chance of that. But there's no chance that you won't get rewarded in the next life. No chance whatsoever. So whatever we do, you know, God mentions this how many times in the seven church epistles, that the life you live here has such a great impact on the life you're going to live over there, which is the next administration after the return of Christ. And there you will get the due reward. You will get, and the word used in the Bible is compensation. You know, you will get the due reward. You know, labor, and it says one place, labor, all the labor we do is not in vain in the Lord. In Corinthians 15, right? And where the exhortation there is, well, you know, don't forget, whatever you're doing, not in vain. Another place, Galatians, it says God is not unrighteous to forget. You know, is man sometimes unrighteous to forget what you do? Oh yeah. You know, we can have good bosses too in this life, but in the end, they're just men. God is not unrighteous to forget. He won't forget. You might feel forgotten. You might think that God is not. He will not forget. You know, if I had an option between something that's going to benefit me for this life and one something going to benefit me for eternity, that would change the way that I do what I do each day. It ought to change the way I do what I do each day. Yeah, we all got to work. And that's a great thing. Even if you're in your secular job, if you do that heartily, it's unto the Lord. Guess what? You get reward for that. If you do it with love. If I ask my kids to do the dishes, Bible's being thrown at me. In my you know, they do that heartily unto the Lord. They get blessed. They do it begrudgingly. Well, that's their choice. You know, whatever you do, it says whatever. Let's say whatever there in verse 23. Whatsoever you do, whatever your responsibility, whatever you're doing, you can get rewarded for eternity. Wow, that's great. There's a good boss. And then again, 1 Corinthians 3, where it talks about, you know, building not on the wood, hay, stubble bit, but building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, and what a privilege, what a blessing to be a part of the family of God, the body of Christ, having a head that will never, ever say he doesn't need you, and that will only bless you. You know, that will only reward you for the things that you've done that are a blessing. It's not going to punish you. What a blessing. What a joy and a privilege to serve. You know, so I just asked myself the question some morning, Roger, what are you waiting for? You know, here we are in this wonderful thing that God has called us to. You know, so, members in particular.